They drank also of the water of the river, which was pleasant and enlivening to their weary spirits. Besides, on the banks of this river on either side were green trees that bore all manner of fruit, and the leaves of the trees were good for medicine. With the fruit of these trees they were also much delighted, and the leaves they ate to prevent overeating and other diseases that are incident to those that heat their blood by travels. On either side of the river was also a meadow, curiously beautified with lilies, and it was green all the year long. In this meadow they lay down and slept, for here they might lie down safely. When they awoke, they gathered again of the fruit of the trees and drank again from the water of the river, and they lay down again to sleep. This they did several days and nights. So when they were disposed to continue their journey, they ate and drank and departed. Now I beheld in my dream that they had not journeyed far, but the river and the way for a time parted, at which they were not a little sorry. Yet they durst not go out of the way, and so continued therein. Now the way began to be most rough, and their feet became increasing tender by reason of their travels, so that their souls became much discouraged.
Ah, dear Christian, how I yearn to be back at the river of life.
As do I, dear companion, as do I.
Or at least to have a path with fewer rocks and potholes.
Well, perhaps the Lord of the far country will hear the sighings of our heart and show us a better way.
Now, a little before them, they saw, on the left hand of the road, a meadow, and a stile to aid them over the fence. The name of the meadow is Bypath Meadow.
Look! A meadow, smooth and green, and lying just alongside the way. Surely God hath heard our groanings.
But it is out of the way.
Let me just climb over the stile and have a short peek. Yea, as I perceive, the meadow lieth right along our pathway. Come over, good hopeful. This be an answer to prayer.
But what if this path should lead us out of the way?
'Tis not likely. From over here I can see that it goeth hard along the wayside as far as I can see. 'Tis surely the easiest way. Come along now.
Are you sure?
Yea. And if I be proven wrong, we may easily clamber back over the fence.
Well, all right.
There. You see? Is this not lovely to our eyes and soft to our feet?
Yes, I must agree. 'Tis surely restful to the senses.
Aren't you glad we came this merry way?
I think I am.
Take heart, dear hopeful. See how we travel just alongside the way?
Yes, but doth it not seem to be just a tad bit farther off than when we first began?
Not that I can notice. Say, look yonder. Who goes there?
I cannot tell. Come, let us catch up with him.
Sirrah! Sirrah, wait up!
Good day, gentlemen.
Good sir, can you tell us whither this peaceful path may lead us?
Why, to the celestial city, of course.
Did I not tell you so?
Ask him how he knows.
Shh, nay, best not to seem so faithless. See with what boldness he doth make his path.
Aye, confidence he doth certainly possess. I hope it be not in vain.
And so they followed him with no little assurance, enjoying all the while the softness of the pathway. But ere they had gone far, the night did descend upon them, leaving them in perfect darkness, having neither stars nor moon. Now he that did lead the way continued pressing forward with all confidence, for Vain Confidence was his name.
Come, boys, let not a little darkness slow thee up.
Come along, good hopeful, we be falling behind.
If the truth be spoken, dear Christian, I had as soon be going back. Every other path provided by the king of the fair country hath houses of rest and encouragement wherein to spend the night. but this seemeth to have none.
I say, men, are you coming or not?
Oh, dear.
What do you suppose happened to him?
Now, vain confidence, not seeing the way before him, had fallen into a deep pit which had been dug there by the evil prince of that place. In the bottom were great stones mingled with sharp sticks. They that avoided being smashed on the one were impaled upon the other. And so perished vain confidence in his ways.
What happened?
I feel with my staff that the ground before us doth suddenly drop away.
Probably into some great pit of death.
So it doth seem. Good friend, are you well? No answer.
Our companion seems to have breathed his last.
Here, I'll cast down this small stone. 'Tis a deeply seeming hole.
Come, let us turn back ere his fate become ours as well.
A thing which I am wont to do as well. But pray tell in this great darkness which way is back.
Listen. 'Tis beginning to rain.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
And so it began to thunder and rain in a manner most fearful. And the gently flowing brooklet began to behave as a raging torrent. Then did the water overflow their feet, then their knees, rising moment by moment ever higher.
Oh, that I had kept in the right way.
But who could have thought that this peaceful path could lead us out of the way? Or that yonder confident dead man did not know the way?
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death.
As we have seen.
I was afraid at the very first, and therefore gave thee that gentle caution. I have spoken more plainly, but that thou art older in the way than I am.
Good brother, be not offended. I am sorry I have brought thee out of the way, that I have put thee in this great danger of drowning. Pray, my brother, forgive me. I did not do it of any evil intent.
Be comforted, my brother. I do forgive thee. And I believe, too, that by faith even this mistake may be turned for our good.
I am glad you are so merciful. But come, we must try to go back.
Yes, I shall lead the way.
And fall into some great pit, as did our companion? Nay, 'tis because of me that we are lost in this way. I shall go before.
No, you may not go first, for your head is so troubled now with your mistake that it may lead you out of the way again.
Then, for their encouragement, they heard the voice of one saying,
"Let thine heart be toward the highway, even the way that thou wentest. Turn again."
Did you hear?
Yes. Praise God, we are not forsaken. Come.
Then did they essay to go back. But by this time the waters were greatly risen about them, and they had like to have gotten themselves drowned 9 or 10 times. Indeed, they did learn by experience that it is much easier to get out of the way when in it than to get back into the way when out of it.
Ah, weary. So weary.
These are the feelings of my bones as well. Is sure that we shall not get back to the way this night.
Oh, if only there was some place to rest.
Look.
What?
Over there. Do you see it? By the lightning's flashing, I can see a rude shelter wherein we may rest for a time.
The spirit is willing to go on, but the flesh is so weak. Therefore, let us rest. It may be that by morning's light we may make up the time.
Oh, sweet rest. Though we be damp in body and in spirit, how good it is to rest.
I wonder whose grounds these are, and whose kindness has provided this little resting place.
Who can know? Perhaps morning light will reveal the answer. As for now, I shall have my prayers, and then dream of higher ground.
As shall I. God bless thee.
And so they laid them down to rest. Now it so happened that not far from that place was a dark and dreary castle called Doubting Castle. The owner thereof was a giant named Despair, who had to wife a giantess named Diffidence, so named because of her timidity. Now it was his custom, after a storm, to search out his domain to see if he had caught any pilgrims trespassing in the land of doubt.
Oh, pilgrim, has me delightful little storm washed any of you up on me delightful shores? What hears me sleepy, snory in me little shelter? Why, if it isn't a couple of pilgrims. And sleeping they are. In my kingdom of doubt. In my shelter. Without my permission. Do they not know that to sleep in the kingdom of doubt means to go to jail? No, I must needs tell them so. Hey, wake thee up.
Oh, what?
He got ears. Wake thee up, I says.
Good morning, kind sir.
Kind sir? He does me insult. For I am neither kind nor a sir. I am a king. A tyrant, if thee pleases.
Then good morning, your highness.
And what's so good's about a morning when a king finds his grounds trespassed upon and trampled upon in so fearful a manner as ye have arrogantly done?
Oh, dear good king, women...
I tell thee I be not a good king. My name be Despair, and I am a tyrant. I am a tyrant, and few there be that come into my land of doubt what escapes alive. Now gets thee up, and march thee on before.
Where are we going?
Is for me to know, and thee to go. Come thee now, move along.
I have cause to think that we be in great difficulty.
Aye, he seems to delight in his tyranny. What shall we do?
I know not. We are obviously in the wrong for having entered his lands.
We might run for it.
Nay, we be so weakened from our ordeal that we have nothing to gain from it but a beating from his club. Let us pray for mercy.
From him?
From God.
Did I hear the name of God?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, your highness.
Too late. Take that.
Oh.
That was for calling me sir before your highness. Now, who was it called out the name of God?
'Twas I.
Take that. Oh. It's against the laws of this kingdom to speak the name of God here.
But you have not told us.
So, now ye be complaining of me methods, are ye? Take that.
Oh, good king, oh,
I be not good. Take that.
Oh,
best we be silent.
Why?
Be thee silent.
Oh, ow.
Oh.
Yeah, here's bees me dungeon. Let me open me door here. This is dark and dreary a place as any you'll find, laddies. Indigos. Now shut me the door upon thee. 'Tis Wednesday morning. I'll be back to seize thee in a few days. Maybe. Ta-ta, me children.
What a dreary castle is doubt.
What a dreary land is the land of doubt.
The bars are solid.
Aye. And the lock is secure.
And these chains, they be no dream.
Oh. Listen.
We are not alone.
Nay, there be many more.
Strange.
What?
The path we came seemed not that well traveled. How came there to be so many here?
There be a more direct route to the land of doubt.
What route is that?
It is the one that cometh straight on, through the walls of a nearby university.
Ah.
But we be here because of me. 'Twas all my fault. All my fault.
Blame not thyself overly much. The way was exceeding hard, and the path did seem to run parallel.
But it was not straight and narrow. I saw it to be so, and knew the words of goodwill. But I put them out of my mind because of how the way looked so easy.
Let not despair rule thee, my brother.
How can I help to be? By my own choice, I am in his dungeon, and entirely at his mercy.
But you did not choose this.
When one chooses to go out of the way, this will always be what he gets. It always ends like this.
Is there nothing I can say to cheer thee?
Nothing.
And so they lay in this state from Wednesday morning till Saturday night, without one bit of bread or drop of drink, or any light, or any to ask how they did. And so did their discouragement increase. Also the rats and bats, and mice and lice that do live in Doubting Castle, did scurry and flap, and squeak and bite to prevent their sleeping through the night. And so did their discouragement deepen yet all the more. Now it came to pass that Giant Despair told his wife of his catch, and asked her counsel on what to do with them. She then told him that upon his next visit he should beat them without mercy.
Hark! I hear a key in outer door.
'Tis probably more of Despair.
Does they hear me name ring through these hallowed halls? Good evening to thee, me boys.
Good evening, your highness.
I have talked to me wife about thee.
And did she recommend mercy?
Mercy? See this?
The cudgel.
Aye, a fine crabapple tree stalk. My dear wife, bless her gentle heart, advised me that I should use this club to beat thee thus.
Oh.
Take that, knave.
Oh, please stop, sir.
Nay, never shall you be food for the alligators and piranhas in my moat.
And so he fell upon them without an ounce of mercy, till they were so sore they could neither help themselves or turn themselves over. Then he, being quite exhausted by his labors, did take his leave with a promise to return with more of the same. Then did they mourn and lament under their distress, but there was nothing more they could do. Now, when the giant's wife, Diffidence, learned that they were still alive, she advised Giant Despair that he should counsel them to do away with themselves.
Oh, brother Hopeful, is it day or night?
I cannot tell.
Oh, how long have we lain thus?
I cannot tell.
Oh, no. He comes again.
Perhaps to set us free.
Hopeful be thy name, and against all reason, hopeful be thy mind.
But he might.
Despair will never set us free.
What? Still alive, are ye?
Yes, by God's grace.
Ye must not speak that name. Take that! I have counseled again with my dear wife. Bless her gentle soul. Well, don't ye want to know her good counsels?
No.
What? Insult my wife, will ye? Take that. And you, don't ye want to know her good counsels?
Yes.
Being nosy, are ye? Take that.
Oh, please have mercy, gentle king.
I told thee I be not gentle. I am a tyrant of the worst sort. I have no mercy, no mercy, show no mercy. Therefore take that. Now then, do ye wishes to know her good counsel?
As you deem it best, your highness.
And you?
As you deem it best, your highness.
Her good counsel to thee is this. Since I be of such an evil temper, and since I know no mercy, nor show no mercy. And since almost none have escaped from my castle of doubt, and since it is near impossible that ye shall either, the counsel is that you use these.
What are they?
I have brought for thee a vial with deadly poison, a knife sharp and long, and a noose for the neck.
What for?
Why, for to do with thyself away, of course.
Kill himself?
Of course. For why should you choose to live on, seeing life is attended with such bitterness, especially in the dungeon of despair?
We would rather be set free.
Free? Do you dare to speak of freedom from doubt? I will slay thee for that. Take that.
With that, the giant looked ugly upon them and rushed upon them to make an end of them himself. But in the providence of God, the clouds of that country did part for a moment, and a ray of sunshine did find its way into the dungeon. This caused the giant to fall into one of those fits that do attend him when the light breaks forth. And so, being unable to continue in his intentions, he locked the door and withdrew.
I shall return. You will find it a more pleasant death if you do away with yourselves. For if I have to do it for thee... It could take days.
Brother, what shall we do? The life we now live is miserable. My soul almost choseth strangling rather than life, and the grave is more easy for me than this dungeon. Would it not be better to escape this life by our own hand than to consent to be ruled by the giant?
Indeed, death would be better than to forever abide in this misery. But let us remember that our Lord hath said, "Thou shalt do no murder." But to kill ourselves would be more than the killing of a body, for we would also destroy our souls. Thou talkest of the ease in the grave, but hast thou forgotten the punishment of eternal death? Others have escaped this kingdom of doubt. Therefore, so may we. And I am resolved to play the man and to try my utmost to escape him at first chance. It may be that we shall succeed or be killed in the attempt and thus attain sweet release. But let us not be our own murderers.
With these words, Hopeful did encourage the mind of his brother. So they continued together in the dark that day in their sad and doleful condition. Later, toward evening, the giant came again to see if the prisoners had taken his counsel.
Tell me, chaps, have ye done yourselves in by the rope, by the potion, or by the point? Let me cast but a little light upon thy dead bodies, to see how thou didst depart this hour.
Greetings, your highness.
What? Alive still?
We would be free.
Free? Nay, but thou hast disobeyed my counsel, and that of my gentle wife. I shall now ask her counsel as how to punish thee the more. But be sure on this, that it shall go the worse for thee than thee can imagine if I find thee alive when next I come. My wife, dearest diffidence, is gentle, but does not take kindly to having her counsel rejected. Here be the poison, the dagger, and the rope. Do not neglect to use them this time. Ta, chaps.
Oh, dear Hopeful. I am nearly persuaded to obey.
Nay, brother. Be brave. Your only danger is that you shall forget how God hath led thee in the past. Remember that Apollyon could not crush thee, nor could the valley of the shadow of death smother thee. The threats and tortures of Vanity Fair could not stop thee. What hardship, terror and suffering hast thou already endured, and shall this one, so near thy journey's end, send thee packing home?
Oh, Hopeful, thou art a brave soldier of the cross.
Nay, but I am a far weaker man than thou. And yet I have taken the same strokes as thee. I am no less thirsty or starved than thee. I too mourn for the absence of light. But let us hold fast the hope we possess. Let us trust ourselves to the hand that was nailed to the cross for us.
I shall try. Only put these instruments of death away from me, lest I seize them in a weak moment.
Here, I shall throw them out the bars. There.
Now, while Christian and his fellow talked in the dungeon, the giant and his wife were in bed, discoursing thusly.
And do tell, my love, have the prisoners taken our counsel?
Bah, no. They are sturdy rogues who choose to bear all manner of hardship rather than do away with themselves. I shall have to kill them.
Kill them? No. For then will they rise in the first resurrection to meet their Lord in the air. No, we must induce them to kill themselves, that their souls may die as well.
But what shall I do? I have starved them, thirsted them, beaten them, hidden them away from the light which they long for, the lice and mice bite and torment. What more can I do, my love?
Take them into the castle yard tomorrow and show them the bones and the skulls of those whom thou hast already dispatched. Show them thy well-equipped torture chamber and make them believe that ere a week comes to an end, thou wilt stretch them, brand them, roast them, skin them, salt their wounds, and then tear them into pieces for fish food, as thou hast done their fellows before them.
Oh, Wavy, a good idea, a good idea.
Methinks the older one is beginning to long for death already.
And so, when the morrow was come, he took them into his castle yard, all white with the scattered bones of multitudes. Now these were the bones of those who, through all the ages, had wandered into doubt.
You see these bones of millions. These were once pilgrims, the same as ye be. They wandered into my kingdom the same as ye have done. And when, over there in yonder fine torture chamber, I had made sport of them enough, I tore them into pieces, as I shall do unto you before 10 days have passed. Look with thy eyes and see thy fate. Listen with thine ears and hear their dying agonies, which shall soon be thine own. And then remember the poison potion that will let thee slip away into pleasant and blissful sleep. And realize that even the giant of despair hath a touch of mercy. And now, off to thy cage with thee. Take that!
And with that, he beat them all the way back to their foul and hateful dungeon. They lay, therefore, all day in a lamentable case as before. Now, when night was come, Despair and his wife, Diffidence, renewed their discourse of their prisoners.
Me can't believe it.
Believe what?
That neither blows, nor starvation, nor thirsting, nor fleas, nor threats, nor counsel can bring these ones to put an end to themselves.
They must yet have some hope about them. Either they yet have some trust in their Lord, or they may expect some friends to come and deliver them. Or perhaps they have picklocks about them and hope to escape. Have you searched them?
No. I shall search them thoroughly in the morning.
But about this time, near midnight, the prisoners began to sing hymns and to praise God and to pray without ceasing. And as they did so, their courage did rise to meet their needs until...
What a fool!
What?
What a fool I have been. to lie here in a stinking dungeon when I may just as easily have walked at liberty.
What are you saying?
Look. Look.
Why, there's a tiny rusty key.
Aye. Rusty because in my stupidness I had not used it sooner.
What key is this?
'Tis called the Key of Promise.
What is it for?
'Tis given to pilgrims on purpose of freeing them from all the locks of the enemy.
But will it work for us?
Yes. I am persuaded that it will open any lock in Doubting Castle.
Then go to it, my brother. My eyes long to see the smile of God's Son.
Here, let me at these chains.
Why, it seems to be just the right size.
Aye. As thy needs are, so shall the promise be. There! Free!
Oh, to be able to move again. Praise God. Here, let me have at thy chains. My, 'tis a wonderfully fine picklock.
Aye. 'Twas made on the anvil of heaven by him that came to set the captives free.
There. Free.
Oh, praise God. I wonder why I had not thought of this key before.
I know not.
And I wonder what made me think of it now.
Might it not have been because we sang praises?
Yes. Yes. That's it. Then 'tis no wonder.
No wonder what?
That God's word doth command us to rejoice in all things. Had we obeyed earlier, we had used the power of promise long ere this.
Shall we next try the door?
Yes. If I can get me up after all this time. Oh. Come.
Oh, no.
Why sigh thee so sadly?
Look at the lock. It'd be so much larger.
Aye, but look at the size of the promise. How that it hath also grown.
Then does the promise truly grow to meet our needs?
Aye. And look how it begins to become shiny with increased use. Here, let me at the lock.
Why, it goes in easy.
Aye. And see how it turns with ease.
Push the door. It opens.
Praise God. Come, off to the yard gate. Peter will not be the only one to leave an empty cell.
Stop! Help us!
Brother Hope, wait. Friend, would you be free?
Free? Yes. Yes, free!
Look.
What be that?
This be your redemption.
Indeed?
Yea, verily.
But, what is it?
'Tis the key of promise.
Aye. With it you may open all the doors of doubt.
But it be so tiny and rusty.
It matters not, friend.
But how can said key open my chains and my cell door?
Why, because of God's promise. It hath power to free us from any bonds or afflictions.
And what of the yard gate and the moat gate? Mean you to say that your key doth grow or shrink to meet your need?
Yea.
Nay.
'Tis verily so, for it hath worked for us.
But can this be? The locks of doubt are quite large and very rusty.
No matter. Only believe in the promise and thou shalt be free.
Nay. I will never believe that such a small key can work such mighty miracles as that.
You must. For behind this key stands the honor of God's kingdom.
What?
Aye, and all its power too.
Nay, God is not fool enough to stake his honor upon such a feeble instrument as that. Hast thou come to mock me?
Nay, good friend. Only reach forth the hand of faith and freedom shall be thine.
Thou dost mock me, for 'tis plain to any eye that my hand be withered and cannot reach out for said key.
Then I shall use of it for thee.
Nay, but be thou gone, knave, it is plain to any educated mind that said promise is weak and useless.
Nay, but 'tis mighty, even under the pulling down of walls and kingdoms.
Bosh! Believest thou that?
Yea, verily.
Then thou be fooled. Such a fantastical belief doth go against all logic and wisdom.
But look upon us. We be freed by it.
Aye, because ye be fools and court jesters, tricksters, sent out by joy and despair on purpose to mock me.
Nay, dear friend, this same promise which has freed us shall work for thee too. Only choose to believe in it.
Away with thee. Bad enough to be entombed here in the land of doubt, without having fools such as thee to assault my reason with fairy tales and magic keys.
But it...
Nay, begone, begone. Ye shall not give despair the satisfaction of laughing at my gullibility. Think ye that all these caps and gowns and degrees, and that this great library of philosophy and religion mean nothing at all?
But...
Nay, go!
But
we away, can... I say! Go, go,
come along, good hope. This man's learning hath rendered him more hopeless than the man in the cage.
But, Christian, there are others.
Is there a man among you who will choose to believe God's promise and act upon it?
No answer.
Aye. Faith be dead in these halls. Come, let us flee from this place of doubt, lest their doom become our own.
Aye, off with us.
The gate to the yard.
Will it work?
It goes in, albeit not so easy as the inner gate.
But does it open the lock?
I don't know. Oh, oh dear.
Oh, it'd be rusty. We are doomed.
Shh. The key of promise only works for those who believe.
Then must I choose to believe in God's promise.
Aye.
Glory be.
What is it?
I have chosen to believe, and God hath made it a fact. I do believe. Try again, brother, for now your key will surely open the gate.
All right.
Does it yield yet to the attack of faith?
No. Not yet. Wait. Yes. Yes. I think so. It opens... Victorious promise opens the doors of doubt.
I knew it would. I knew it would. Three cheers for the promises of God. Hip, hip, hurrah.
Shh. Hip, hip,
we
hurrah.
We are not out yet. Did you hear something, my dearest? Did you hear cheering?
Cheering? My dear, cheering hath not been heard in the land of doubt I don't think it has ever been heard here. No, nor shall it ever be. Go thee back to sleep, eh?
Yes, dear.
Now what?
Now to attack the great iron gate and escape across the moat.
Shall we have at it?
Aye. But do tell, is it day or night?
Well, the sun be all hidden by the clouds of doubt. But it must be day, for all the chickens are about.
Or else the moon be hotly bright. Is the way clear?
Yes. The curtains be drawn on the giant's apartment.
Good. We'll dash across the courtyard and be out in no time. You cover our rearward with prayer.
I shall.
Ready?
Ready. Watch out that you don't take a tumble over all the roly skulls.
I'm off.
We made it. Hurry with the lock. How goes it?
Hard. 'Tis rusty and old. I can see that the key of promise hath not been brought against it many times.
Be of good courage. Our God shall prevail over despair.
by faith, I know it is true. But we should have been at this gate last week, ere it got so rusty.
Yea, but better late than never. How goes it?
Hard. And yet, it doth budge a bit.
Hurry! I see the giantess opening the drapes of their window.
Lord, keep thy promise strong, for I'm about to put all my weight upon it.
God be with thee.
He is.
Doth it open to thee?
No, I be too light. Come, add thy weight to mine.
Might we not break it?
If the promise be not strong enough to hold all of our weight, then our entire pilgrimage be in vain. Quick!
Despair, dearest. How many times must I tell you not to let the prisoners out to exercise in the open air? If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times that sunshine and exercise are tools of the enemy and only serve to increase their health and lift their spirits.
What are you talking about, wife? Me never lets me prisoners out into the open air. Sunshine is the death of me and my power over them.
Well, then, why are they out? And why does one of them have a great, big, shiny key that fits into your outer gate?
What?
Look for yourself.
You be crazy.
Just listen.
What? That be me gate opening.
And those be thy prisoners escaping.
Me club, me club, get me club. None shall escape the kingdom of doubt or the rule of despair.
Run fast, dear. They be crossing the moat.
I'm going. I'm coming. I'll get them.
Come quickly, friend Hopeful. I hear the steps of the giant.
Aye, but we are weak and ill-fed, and he is fat with the blood of martyrs. 'Twill yet be a miracle. Will your key open the clouds?
And why not? O Lord of the promise, open unto us the sun of righteousness and blind the eyes of despair.
Don't think you can escape despair so easy as that. Me have never opened me prison before, nor shall me now.
It's coming across the moat.
Oh, where is the sun?
It will come.
When?
Just when we need it most.
That tis now.
Quick, turn in here.
Oh, no, tis a trap.
Yes, a trap, and now me's got you. You're too weak to get away from me.
Stand back, or I'll use the key of promise to cut off thy head.
Me curse thee by the gods of discouragement and depression, of dungeons and dragons. Me shall tear thee from limb to limb and feed thee to the fish of the moat.
You come to me with a club and in the name of God of force. But I come to thee in the name of God of courage. And I swear that if thou give not back, that this promise of power in my hand shall pierce thee to the marrow and lay thy bones for the sun to bleach.
Me fears not a mere promise. Now me's got thee, and I'll tear thy head from my body.
The sun!
Oh, no, the sun! The sun shines through! Got to get into the shade before me fits stuck locked up. Got to get into the shade.
Quick! Use thy key to reflect the sun into his eyes.
Yes!
Put up that mirror, get thee gone!
Come, time to flee.
Nay, I'll hold him off with the light while you get a start.
Take it away.
I'll not leave thee. 'Twas my fault we are here. Therefore I shall bring up the rear. Go.
All right, but hurry.
Come. I'm right behind. Go on.
And so they went on in full sunshine and came again to the king's highway where they were safe from despair. Now, when they were gone over the stile, they decided to erect there a pillar of warning to save others from falling into the hands of despair. And this is what it said. Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despiseth the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. Many, therefore, that followed after, read these words, and so escaped the danger. They went on thence, without event or mishap, till they were got up to the Delectable Mountains, which mountains belonged to the lord of that hill of which we have spoken before. So they went up to behold the gardens and orchards, the vineyards and fountains of water, where also they drank and washed themselves, and did freely eat of the vineyards. Now there were on the tops of these mountains shepherds feeding their flocks, and they stood by the highway side. The pilgrims, therefore, went to them, and leaning upon their staves, they began to converse with them.
Is this the way to the celestial city?
Aye.
Indeed.
It is.
How far is it thither?
Too far for any, but those who shall actually get there.
Is the way safe or dangerous?
Safe, for those who will trust and obey. But transgressors shall fall therein.
Is there in this place any relief for pilgrims that are weary and faint in the way?
The Lord of these mountains has given us a charge not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Therefore, all the good of this place is before you.
I thank thee. These mountains be restful to the eye.
I saw also in my dream that the shepherds, whose names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, also put many questions to Christian and Hopeful, and being pleased with their answers, they looked lovingly upon them and said,
Welcome. Welcome to the Delectable Mountains. Come to our tents and partake of our meal. We would also invite thee to stay here for a time. You must become acquainted with us and partake of the good things of this land.
And so it was that the pilgrims spent not a few days among the shepherds. On one occasion they were walking up and down upon the mountains when they came to the top of a hill called Error.
My, this hill of Error is nicely gentle going up, but doth turn into a sheer falling cliff on the far side.
Look down at the bottom. What see thee?
Oh my, several men, all of them dashed to pieces.
Aye,
how came they to be thus destroyed?
Have you not heard of them that were made to err by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus, as concerning the faith of the resurrection of the body?
Yes.
Those who you see below are they.
But why are they left unburied?
As a warning to others, to take heed how they think on things that are not revealed, lest they clamber too high or come too near the brink of this mountain.
Rest assured that we seek only to know and do his will, who hath called us and saved us by his blood.
What is that mountain over there?
'Tis called the Mount of Caution. Come.
Then I saw that they had them to the top, and bid them look afar off. And when they did, they perceived several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there. And they soon perceived that the men were blind, because they stumbled sometimes upon the tombs, and because they could not get out from among them.
What means this?
Did you not see, a little below these mountains, a stile that led over the fence and into a meadow on the left-hand side of this way?
Yes.
Why?
From that stile, there goes a path that leads directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair. And these blind ones came on pilgrimage, as you do now, even until they came to that stile.
I see.
And then, the right way being temporarily rough, they chose to go out of it into that meadow. There, they were seized by Giant Despair and cast into the dungeon of Doubting Castle, where after they had been kept for a time, he at last did put out their eyes and set them among those tombs, where he has left them to wander to this very day. Herein is fulfilled the saying of the wise man who said, He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
Is there any hope for them?
No. There be almost none who, having fallen into the land of doubt, ever be set free again.
Then I saw that Christian and Hopeful looked upon one another with tears gushing out, but yet said nothing to the shepherds. Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds had them to another place in a valley, where was a door on the side of a hill. And they opened the door and bid them look in.
What do you see?
'Tis very dark
and smoky.
And I hear a rumbling noise, as of fire and the cries of those who seem to be dying.
And I smell the smell of brimstone.
What means this?
This is a byway to hell, a way that hypocrites go in at.
Namely, such as sell their birthright with Esau, such as sell their master with Judas, such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and that lie and dissemble with Ananias and Sapphira.
Did not each of them appear to be pilgrims, even as we do now?
Yes, and they remained in the way a goodly long time, too.
How far can a hypocrite go on in this way?
Most give out long ere this.
But some go even farther than these mountains.
Indeed?
Oh, yes. Some come right up to the gates of the kingdom ere they realize their loss.
Then have we need to cry out to the strong for strength.
And you will have need to use it when you have it, too.
Well, our days have been pleasant and instructive, but we feel that we had best to be on our way.
And such is our feeling as well. You only needed to get to know us and to refresh yourself for your journey. But before you go, would you like to look through our glasses at the celestial city?
Can we truly see it from here?
Aye, here. Can you see it?
My hands yet shake from looking into the lake of fire. Yet it doth appear all shining and glorious. Oh, how I do long to be there, and sitting at the feet of my Lord.
If faithful, you shall enter there soon.
And now, Godspeed.
And as they were thus parting, one of the shepherds gave them a map of the way. Another of them bid them beware of the flatterer. The third bid them take heed that they sleep not upon the enchanted ground. And the fourth bid them Godspeed. Now, a little below these mountains, on the left hand, lieth the country of Conceit, from which country there comes into the way in which the pilgrims walked a little crooked lane. Here, therefore, they met with a very brisk lad that came out of that country, and his name was Ignorance.
Greetings, lad.
Hello, good sirs.
Whither from?
I am from the country of Conceit.
And whither bound?
I am off to the celestial city.
You are?
Of course.
But how do you think to get in at the gate?
Why, the same as everyone else does, of course.
But what have you to show at the gate that will cause them to open for you?
Why, because I know my Lord's will, and have lived a good life. I pray, fast, pay tithes, and give alms. Besides all that, I have left my country and all that I possess in order to go on pilgrimage.
But thou camest not in at the wicket gate. Thou art likely to be called a thief and a robber.
Good gentlemen, ye be utter strangers to me. Why do you address me so curtly, seeing that I know you not?
Because we are concerned for thy welfare.
There be no need for that. You be content to follow the religion of your country, and I'll follow the religion of mine. I have a fair hope that all shall be well with both of us.
But the wicket gate is the way appointed for beginnings, no matter what our country.
Nay, but all the world knows that said gate is a great way off from the country of Conceit. I cannot think of even one man in our parts that even knows how to get there.
That should be a warning to you.
Nay, it matters not a bit. Anyone can see that we have a fine, pleasant green lane that comes directly down from our country right into the way. Actually, we have quite the jump on most folks.
There is more hope of a fool than for this man.
Aye, he is certainly wise in his own conceit.
Shall we talk with him further, or outgo him and hope that time will grant him wisdom?
He certainly feels no need of counsel at this time. I say we try to help him later, when he may be able to bear it.
So they went on their way, and Ignorance, he came after. They went then till they came to a place where they saw another way put itself into their way, which seemed withal to lie just as straight as the way which they should go. And here they knew not which of the two to take, for both seemed to be straight. Now, as they stood to consider, behold, a man, black of flesh, but covered with a robe of white, came to them.
Why be you two intelligent-looking gentlemen standing here?
We be off to the Celestial City, but know not which of these two ways to take.
Well, I knew from your fine appearance that you must be fellow pilgrims. Come, follow me, for I know the way quite well.
So they followed him on the path which joined itself into the way, and it, ever so slowly, by degrees, did bend and turn from the city, until their faces were turned away from it. Yet the man did speak so gently to them, and so magnify their goodness before them, that they kept right on after him. But by and by, before they were aware of it, he led them into the compass of a net, which did fall upon them and entangle them so that they could not escape. Then did he laugh at them and let the white robe fall from off his back.
I've got you now!
'Tis the flatterer. Did not the shepherds warn us about him?
Aye, 'tis I. And I shall return with my employer shortly forthwith. Until then, I bid you most lovely and intelligent and gullible gentlemen a short adieu.
The wise man was right when he said that a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet.
Aye, right indeed he was.
We also forgot to look at the map the shepherds gave us. Oh, foolish pilgrims! When will we ever learn to listen to instructions?
And thus they lay for some time, bewailing their foolishness and praying for help. At last they espied a shining one coming towards them with a whip of a small cord in his hand.
I see that ye be trapped in the snare of the evil prince.
Much to our shame.
Are ye not pilgrims?
Aye.
Have I not met thee before?
Aye, sir. At the Slough of Despond.
Aha, I thought I knew the voice. Albeit your appearance be greatly improved, how came ye to be in this net?
We did follow one whose flesh was black, but who was dressed in a white robe.
It is flatterer, a false prophet, that hath transformed himself into an angel of light. Here, let me cut this net.
Ah, thank you, good angel. Thank you.
Now follow me back to where you left the way.
And so follow him they did, till they were got back into the way.
Here you are, back on the way that be straight and narrow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Tell me, how came you to follow the flatterer?
We came to the parting of the ways, and knew not which way to go.
And where did you rest last night?
With the shepherds upon the Delectable Mountains.
Did they not give you a map?
Yes, sir.
And when you came to the parting of the ways, did you not use it?
No, sir.
Why not?
We forgot, sir.
I see. And did not the shepherds bid thee beware of the flatterer?
Yes, sir.
But this man spoke with such elegance and polish that we did not dream he could be the flatterer.
Lie down.
Lie down, sir?
Yes. Faces to the ground.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think he is going to punish our foolishness.
And we deserve it.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Yes, sir.
We were foolish.
Thank you for your help and our well-deserved chastening.
You are welcome. Be on your way now, and take good heed to the other directions of the shepherds. They did not speak to you for the joy of hearing their own voices, but for thy salvation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Farewell.
So they thanked him for all his kindness and went softly along the right way. Now, after a while, they perceive afar off one coming softly and alone all along the highway to meet them. The man's name was Atheist.
Look!
What?
Yonder is a man with his back towards Zion, and he is coming to meet us.
I see him. Let us take good heed to ourselves, lest he should prove a flatterer also.
Oh, hey, whither away?
We be bound for Mount Zion. What is the meaning of your laughter?
Oh, I laugh to see what ignorant persons you are.
What do you mean?
You take upon yourselves a so tedious a journey, and yet at the end you will gain no more than your travel for all your trouble.
Why do you say that? Do you think they will not receive us at the gate?
Gate? There be no such gate in all the world.
But there is in the world to come.
No. No such place. No such place at all.
Why do you think so?
Experience, my lads, experience. I was once a pilgrim, the same as you are.
You were?
Aye. And I have traveled much farther on this way than you are ever like to go.
And what did you see?
See? Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing! Because there is nothing to see. It is all a sham.
No.
Yes. I have traveled this way for over 20 years, and at my journey's end, I was no closer to the gate than when I first started out.
Are you sure?
More than sure, yes. Now I am returning to whence I came, and you can be sure that all of the pleasures and advantages which I formerly denied myself, I am presently partaking to their full. I only wish I had never put away that which is seen for that which is unseen.
What say you? Is it true what this man says, Hopeful?
What? Did we not see the city through the glasses? Can we not now, for a time, walk by faith? Do you not remember, brother, the words of the wise man who saith, Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Come, let us be off ere thy faith grow yet weaker.
My faith is not weak, my brother. I was only seeking to hear what answer you might give. It is clear as day that this man is blinded by the god of this world. Let thee and I go on, knowing that we have belief of the truth, and that no lie is of the truth.
Oh, how I rejoice to hear such words! I feared that the angel with the whip might have to chastise us again.
Well, what is all this whispering about? Will you turn away from your foolishness and follow me, or no?
Sir, we be following the promises of God, who cannot go back on his word, though all men be liars.
Fools ye are, lads! Fools!
I then saw in my dream that they went till they came into a certain country, whose air naturally tended to make one drowsy if he came a stranger into it. And here, Hopeful began to be very dull and heavy of sleep.
Oh, I do now begin to grow so drowsy that I could scarcely hold up my eyes. Let us lie down here and take one short nap.
By no means, lest sleeping we never awake.
Why, my brother? Sleep is sweet to the laboring man. We may be refreshed if we take a brief nap.
Do not you remember that one of the shepherds bid us beware of the enchanted ground?
Yes.
This be it. Oh, he meant that we should beware of sleeping here. Wherefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
I do see the need. But how?
by entering into profitable discourse.
About what?
About how you came to be a pilgrim. What was your state before beginning on this way?